Some weeks ago, we were looking at some of the values in the Bible, and I want us to look in three Sunday mornings at three of the planes in the Bible, three of the planes that are mentioned and very significant because of what happened in those planes. And the text this morning is in Genesis chapter 13, verse 11. Genesis 13 and verse 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. You cast back your mind's eye to the land of Palestine, and you probably have Bible maps in the backs of your Bibles. You remember that the physical features of the land run north and south. Way on the coast of the Mediterranean on the west, there is the coastal plain, the biggest part of which is called the Gaza Strip. Then you have north to south the mountain ranges that come down into Judea and from the north. Then you have the valley of the Jordan running almost dead north and south, and then a few more hills, but mostly desert beyond that. And we're concerned with the plain of the River Jordan, a river which comes from the Sea of Galilee and is lost, of course, in the Dead Sea. A river which carves its way through limestone gorges, twisting and turning. And eventually it opens out into a broad plain in the vicinity of Jericho. The great importance of the city of Jericho in the crossing of Jordan and so on to the children of Israel. Jericho was a fortress town which overlooked and guarded the crossing point of the River Jordan not far before it entered into the Dead Sea. During the flood time, the waters came down and spread on the plain of Jordan. The river overflowed its banks. It brought with it silt of various kinds. It made the plain of Jordan very fertile, able to support a great deal of pastures during the drier part of the year. This was the plain of Jordan, the broad plain, the broad part near to the place we know as Jericho. And then linked with this, we have the story of Abraham. Abraham, who in chapter 12 has been called out from Ur of the Chaldees and made his way round into Palestine. He's come with Lot down into the place called Sichem and then to Moreh, and he built there an altar unto the Lord, and then to Bethel, where again he built an altar to the Lord. And in the last part of chapter 12, we read about Abraham's lapse when he went down into Egypt and eventually came back at the beginning of chapter 13. Interesting to notice that when Abraham came back in chapter 13, he came back in verse 3 and went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. This incident of going down into Egypt may be regarded spiritually as backsliding on the part of Abraham, and now he has come back, and he's come back to the place where he went away from God. This is always the point with the backslider. We backslide from God, we go away because of disobedience. And God says that we must come back, and we must come back to the point from which we digressed. And not only must we do so, but we must come back to the cross for God's forgiveness. He came back to the altar. And so chapter 13 opens with Abraham restored in accordance with the promises that God had made to him before ever he left Ur of the Chaldees. Restored now, but a fresh crisis awaits him. How true this is. No sooner do we come into spiritual blessing than it seems that there's an added attack from Satan. There are more difficulties arise, more circumstances that bewilder, more crises to be faced. Simply because we are going on with God. Christian that doesn't make any progress is no concern to Satan. He doesn't bother with the Christian who's not going ahead spiritually, who has no spiritual impact in his witness. Satan's concerned when there is a renewal, when there is a coming back to God, there is a replacing in the purposes of God, a new walking in the paths of God. Then it is that Satan comes. So it is in the story of Abraham. Straight away, we find difficulty arises. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. We look at the choice that took place at the plain of Jordan. First, I want you to notice that as far as Lot was concerned, his choice of the plain of Jordan was a natural choice. A natural choice. Abraham was uncle to Lot. Lot's father, Haran, had died earlier on. And Lot is linked with the story of Abraham from the earliest mention of his leaving of Ur of Chaldees. At the particular juncture at which the story comes, we find that they had grown very rich. They were rich in cattle, they were rich in the flocks, and so on. And they came to the difficulty that there wasn't enough water, there wasn't enough pasture. The flocks and the herds had grown numerically and grown until it was impossible for these nomadic pastoralists to support their flocks in one place. So Abraham makes this magnanimous offer to Lot in verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee, he says to Lot, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. When we look at Lot, we find that although he was the nephew of Abraham, although in a sense Abraham had taken responsibility for him, we find that he was by no means a man of the same spiritual stature as his uncle. Chapter 12, verse 4, we read these words. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. We come to chapter 13, verse 1. Abraham went up out of Egypt, and Lot with him. In chapter 13, verse 5, Lot also, which went with Abraham. His name is linked with Abraham. They were related. They were together. But they were not, as I say, of the same spiritual stature as later history obviously showed us. Lot was a man who was basking in the sunshine, if you like, of Abraham's faith. He was one who was hanging on. He was one who was keeping company with the man of God. But at this juncture, he had nothing vital of his own. He had no vital faith in his heart. He was dependent upon the faith of Abraham, who had dared to obey God in coming out from the land of the Chaldeans. Very often we find that there are people like this, the Church of God, dependent on the faith of others. Dependent on the faith of their friends, their relatives. Been brought up with godly parents who knew the Lord, who knew how to pray, who knew how to prove God and did so. But alas, they didn't come into any vital knowledge of God themselves. They were reckoned with the church because of the family pew that was in the old days. They reckoned to be one of God's people because their friends are God's people, and obviously so. Well, we need to make sure that we're not under this condemnation. That we're not just spiritually hangers-on to other people and to the church, if you like, for our strength. And then there came this natural choice. Abraham and Lot are standing on the hills in verse 10. And before them there's the panorama of the countryside to be seen for miles. Spread out before them like a map, we find that this is the choice that's given. The lot. Look all round. Where you like, take the choice. And Lot immediately looks down from the hills and down to the plain of Jordan. And there he sees what he knows to be a beautiful, fertile plain. There he knows there'll be ample for his flocks and for his herds, not only of pasture land, but of grass as well. And so Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Chose according to the mind. Chose according to the eye. Probably this was a very shrewd judgment that he made. A very legitimate thing to do. But it was a natural choice. You read that Lot lifted up his eyes in verse 10 and beheld all the plain of Jordan. But you don't read of Lot lifting up his eyes to God. You don't read of Lot being concerned with his heart. There's no hint, as it were, as we would say, that he prayed concerning this choice and this decision that he had to make. He chose according to the natural senses. And we must remind ourselves constantly that man in his natural state has still the bias of being away from God. Paul speaks about this. When he speaks to the Corinthians, he says these words: "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Constant danger for us as Christians that our choices be made only in the natural realm. There are ways in which this works out, of course. But we need to see that the thing that we choose is not just the good thing, but the God thing. And these don't necessarily overlap or interlock. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, a natural choice. Secondly, I want to go further than this and show you that it was also a sinful choice that Lot made that day. I want us just to think for a moment of Abraham as he stands by the side of Lot. Abraham, you know, is known in the scriptures because he was a man of faith. And so great was his faith that he earned that further title that he was the friend of God. And here Abraham, the older man, stands aside and puts all his own interests in the background. But not so Lot. Why did Abraham act like this? Why is it that Abraham was able to stand back? Because as a man of faith, Abraham knew that whatever Lot did, he, Abraham, would be vindicated by God. Whatever the choice that Lot made, and therefore whatever was left over for Abraham, Abraham was conscious that he was walking in the will of God, that God had called him out of Ur, the Chaldees, that God will vindicate him. So he lets Lot take what he wants. One would have thought that Lot would have had more decency about this. After all, he had been, as I said, in the responsibility of Abraham since his father had died. One would have thought that there would have been some consideration for the older man and all he'd done for him. One would imagine that he'd turn round and say, "But just a minute, you're the senior partner in this. It's for you to make the choice, and I'll take what's left." Or the other thing could have been that Abraham might have come along and said to Lot, "Look, we've got no room for two of us here, so we shall have to separate. I'm giving you such and such a portion. And as he was the leader, and as he was the one who had brought the party out of Ur the Chaldees, and responsibility he'd already taken, he would have been quite justified in assigning to Lot his portion. But this man of God is relying upon his God. And so he gives the choice to Lot. And it was a sinful choice. It was chosen according to the eye. It was a selfish choice. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, well watered everywhere. And I'm quite sure into this look there came a coveting and a greed. And he said, this is the best, I'm going to have this. I'm not concerned about Abraham. If he's fool enough to let me have a choice, I'll grab the best I can. And so he did. He saw, he coveted, the greed grew in his heart, the desire was fed with the flames, and he took the best. And it was a simple choice. Why do I say this? You'll notice that it says in verse 10, the plain of Jordan was like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. For the Christian, spiritually, it must always be that Egypt speaks about the world, about the things of the flesh, the things of the carnal mind. And symbolically, this can well be true, that Lot chose because it seemed as here was the great way by which he can get the best and make the most. As if the Christian made a choice towards the things of the world, towards the money of the world, towards the promotion of the world, towards all the things that the world offers, instead of humbly asking God, what does he want? But there's something worse than this that gives us the label of a sinful choice. Abraham dwelt, verse 12, in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He's gone down the hill, you see, down to the plain of Jordan that he's chosen. And spiritually he's gone down. Parted company with Abraham, but he hasn't got a living faith in his own heart. And he goes and he pitches his tent towards Sodom. And then the Bible tells us in verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So what's this man doing? He made a natural choice, and it was a sinful choice that brought him into the neighborhood, into the locality of sin and of sinners, into the realm of temptation. And such a choice is always sinful. Sodom was well known. It was the talk of the countryside. Everybody knew, it's recorded here, everybody knew that Sodom was a sinful city, soaked in sin. And in a sense, no self-respecting person would go there. But Lot did. Simple choice. He chose and moved himself into the locality of Sodom. This is what happens when a person gets out of the way of walking with the Lord, seeking spiritual insight. This is the natural choice. The natural way of man is never upward, it's downward. This is what's happening in the world today. The natural drag, the natural bias, which was the result of sin entering into the world in the first place, is having its effect upon mankind. And it's dragging it down, not upwards. And Lot goes down. And the Christian needs to beware when his steps are down the hill. Backsliding, going away from God. Tendencies begin to drop off. the reading of God's word at home is neglected. Prayer is never heard. And things that are the evidence of the divine life within begin to drop away. And it's a downhill. And it's a moving into the locality of sin. All we say to ourselves, God can keep us in the worst situation. God can keep his children in the worst temptation that can ever come to them. Which is, of course, gloriously true. But the Lord does not guarantee to keep you if you have deliberately gone into the place where you knew you would be tempted and you had no business for God in that place. And when Lot went down to the plain of Jordan and pitched towards Sodom, he was forfeiting the overlordship of God, who had been guiding his life as he had guided Abraham's life to get. Our natural choices can be sinful choices. A natural choice is sometimes made between go to prayer and get married. A natural choice, yes. They fell in love and that was the end of the argument as far as anybody else was concerned. But for the Christian, a natural choice can be a sinful choice. Because it's going to drag down instead of elevate. Finally, I want us to see that this choice in the plain of Jordan was a fatal choice. Yes, and a final choice. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And so there was separation. Then Lot, verse 11, chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, one from the other. Abraham saw how necessary it was because of the flocks and the herds, and the pasture that was available. But it was vital for Abraham's sake. It was necessary because the hanger-on was a drag upon the man who wanted to go on with God. And sometimes there comes a time in our relationships, in our friendships, and where there must be separation for the Christian. Because an association with a friend or a membership of a society or something like that is a direct drag upon the spiritual life. There comes a time of separation. It's a lesson I learned early in life, in the Christian life. When I came to know Jesus Christ, I discovered within weeks that my coming to Christ meant separation from my bosom pal, my friend. And we separated. And I'm glad I learned the lesson then. Because it would have been a drag on me right through life, I know it. For he had no time to the things of God and wasn't willing to go that way. Sometimes separation is necessary for our spiritual health. From things that seem legitimate, from things that are natural, but things that seem good, but which are not spiritual. And when Lot made this fatal choice, he lost out on it. He got what he wanted. Oh yes, the plain of Jordan was his. He turned his back upon the altar that Abraham had erected so recently. And he faced the cities of the plain, down the hill, eyes alight already with the new possession. But no faith in God. What do we find? Lot chose him. Yes. Verse 12. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. That's the beginning. You turn over to the 19th chapter and what do you find? You find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. This indicates rather that he was accepted. Rather indicates that he was accepted as one of the leaders of the town. And as you read through that chapter, you find something else. That Lot bought a house in that place of Sodom. He had his own residence. And all this was an increasing result of his backsliding from God, going down the hill into the locality, drawn to the city, and residing in it. Fatal choice. And you know, it wasn't long before God brought judgment on that city. Or we read in another part that Lot was vexed because of the condition. But it was too late. He shouldn't have been there. And then God decided that nothing could be done with Sodom but to obliterate it. And God in his grace and in his mercy brought Lot out. Gave him the opportunity to escape. And he came out and, as we would say, saved his life by the skin of his teeth. Whereas before he had separated from Abraham and gone down into sin, now God separates him from judgment in his mercy and brings him out before the fire and brimstone is raised. Fatal choice. And later on you find that Lot becomes the father of Ammon and Moab by incest. And these tribes became a thorn in the side of Israel throughout their history. Well, it's not what might have been. Shows them all the plain of Jordan. He might have done so much if he'd have caught the vision that Abraham had caught. If there had been within his heart a living faith as the word was in the heart of his uncle. But I'm sure that we read the story correctly when we see that Lot was just the hanger-on who, though he was in the company of Abraham for all those years, had come to nothing in his own experience. And so his life went on the natural plane, without his eyes being turned to God and his feet walking in God's way. What a warning this is. We're going to look at Abraham next week, God willing, in the plain of Mamre. And surely we shall find a tremendous contrast as this man of God, this friend of God, dwells there. For this morning, we remember the warning of our Lord, who spoke about Lot's wife turned to the pillar of salt when she was escaping from the judgment. Our Lord said these words to the people, "Remember Lot's wife." I think this morning we ought to say to one another and to ourselves, "Remember Lot's choice." Because there had never been the tragedy of Lot's wife if the choice had been right in the first place. The choice must ever be, when we come back to the altar, that we line ourselves up with God's divine plan and purposes, forgetting the things that are natural in order to discern the things that our spirit. This is what we need. Individually, this is what the church needs collectively.